Welcome to the Decent Crypto Podcast. Today is July 26th. We are coming to you from the deep corners of the world to talk about WorldCoin. Matt, how you doing?
I'm a human.
That is exactly what an AI would say when we start talking about the WorldCoin episode to get their distribution. So you're not fooling anybody here, my friend.
For the avoidance of doubt, I'm a human.
We need to zoom in closer into your irises. Let's open up wide, sir. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, previously humans would check like different body parts to see if they were a certain religion, certain caste, like see if you've been marked, things like that. And now we've just gone full circle. Now we're scanning irises, seeing if you're a real human, not a robot, so you can get paid. Yeah, I feel like we just speed ran the whole episode, but
I mean, yeah, like so I'm here in Dubai, and when you get to the airport, they use a couple of like they use like a 3D sensor to map your face out. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much any building you go into, they use 3D cameras to track like which people are coming in and out.
Holy shit. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Wow. I knew that was the case in many buildings, like in China and other places, but I did not know that was the case in Dubai too.
Yeah, super wild, right?
Wild. All right, well, let's start at the beginning here. Matt, what is WorldCoin?
WorldCoin is a protocol that is meant to accomplish something called proof of personhood. So it's kind of an ambitious project, right? I think this all got laid out like several years ago, right? Like, I can't remember if it was it 2017?
I think 2019.
And so the idea is, as AI gets better, it's going to be harder and harder to distinguish between AI agents and humans. The whole thing was kind of written initially with this goal of creating universal basic income. And, you know, if you're going to do that, you need to make sure that each person you're distributing the income to is a unique person and not just like an AI, right?
Yeah.
So
that's like explicitly stated in the first paragraph of their white paper. They're like, yeah. We need a way to distinguish humans and AI so that we can accomplish certain things. And the first use case they give is universal basic income.
Yeah.
Like, anybody doesn't know this. Like one of the founders of WorldCoin is Sam Altman, the founder or one of the founders of OpenAI. So obviously he's been thinking about this for quite a while, has a lot of insight into the implications of AI and what these, you know, autonomous robots will be able to do and accomplish, and what that means for both distinguishing humans and robots, but also how we choose to create, you know, new models of governance and economic models and things like that. So I think that's worth noting. I think that's a very common piece of knowledge now, but just to point that out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth taking a step back to the state of AI in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. When this was laid out, like, we didn't have ChatGPT, right? Like, we had just sort of hit the level of facial recognition required for your iPhone to automatically create albums of different people's faces. Facebook kind of rolled this out in, like, I think it was, like, 2014. And then it got substantially better as, like, neural net architectures got better in 2016-17. And that sort of fueled like a little mini AI bubble right after the crypto bubble. So like history repeats itself, right? So, you know, I was actually part of this group of people that pivoted from crypto to AI back in 2018. And I was using a lot of AI for work. And you know, at that point, neural architectures sort of were more specialized for image recognition than anything else. That was kind of where we made like the big advancements last cycle in AI. But you got to remember, like, In 2019, Google Translate was good for Spanish, right? Today, it's good for Chinese, right? Back in 2019, it was unusable for Korean, just like full stop. Now it's pretty decent. So like AI itself has substantially improved since this whole vision was laid out. Like at the time, it was, unthinkable that like ChatGPT would be generating like potentially pages and pages of content that seem like it's written by an informed human. And so, you can go back with like OpenAI and you can play with like their older models, and it's remarkable just how much it's improved since then.
Yeah,
So,
even 3.5 and 4 is, or 3 and 4 is quite a difference. ChatGPT,
huge.
the GPT model 3 and 4 is massive.
Yeah, and in 2019, it was, I believe it was still on 2.
Yeah, it was GPT. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Copilot wasn't a thing, right? So we didn't have this like automated like code generation. We were still on GPT-2, which could kind of do like basic question and answer, but it didn't, I mean, it really has hit sort of like a breakthrough moment in the last year or two. And it's important today when we look at WorldCoin to remember that like this whole vision was brought out in a time when like it wasn't thinkable that you could mistake humans and AIs. Like captchas were still working super well without like having to have like a ton of fuzz and stuff. You could just have like an image of a word, and as long as it was sort of like distorted a little bit, you were good. It was just a different world back then, right? So that brings us to the introduction of the hardware component of all of this. So in 2020, WorldCoin takes its first step into the hardware world and creates something called the Orb.
The orb. I remember when this first came out, and I literally thought it was fake. Like for a long time, I thought it was fake. It's like, oh wow, that nice. Somebody's actually trying to create a dystopian nightmare, you know?
Yeah, like it, I mean, the whole thing has a like real strong dystopian feel to it. It's like in the future, AIs will be so good that they're indistinguishable from humans. We need a way to the only thing that can save us now is the orb, where you like sit down and it scans your eyeballs. I mean, this whole thing is like wildly dystopian,
I mean, you can take it like not even that much further, like one step further, and just be like, well, the orb, you know, the orb can sense more than just your eye, you know, it can scan more than just your eyeballs, it can scan all parts of your body, see how you're feeling chemically, you know, give you the exact right amount of whatever, serotonin or whatever, and just keep you happy all day, right? It's just the Matrix. That far away, if you just take a couple of leaps.
Or the orb can sense your brain activity. It can get some notion of like whether you're responding positively or negatively to certain inputs, and as a result it can reward you for having like what do they call it, pro-social thoughts.
And yeah, it can
Anyway.
your UBI for not having those thoughts, or for having Bitcoin maxi thoughts.
I mean, back in 2019, like UBI was somewhat controversial as well, right? Like this
I
was
still think
pre-COVID.
extremely controversial, but I think it's it, at this point, I think just with AI getting stronger, people are starting to realize like that is at least one solution, maybe not the best solution, but it is a solution to certain things. But yeah, back then it was certainly like, what is this concept? Like, why?
Yeah, it wasn't just controversial, it was audacious, right? It was, it was hard to, it was easy to imagine a world where like AIs were going to get so productive that humans just like wouldn't need to work, and we should be like sharing the benefits of this with all of humankind. And so this whole thing had this like super wild, like futuristic dystopian feel to it, where it was like, we're going to have an orb that scans your eyeballs to make sure that you're not an AI to provide you universal basic income. It's like, what the actual fuck?
And now that all this stuff exists and people are getting very afraid about what's going to happen to their jobs, the concept makes a lot more sense. I still don't agree with most of it, but I think the concept is much more clear to most people. Like, oh shit, like actually this is gonna happen in the future where we have no idea what's being created. Like right now it's even hard to tell what's being created by human and what's not being created by human. Once you have those same kind of capabilities, like a GPT-4 type model applied to robotics and applied to more real world stuff, it will be pretty hard to get a sense of what's human, what's not human. And yeah, I think that creates a pretty scary kind of future. And yeah, it seems like this model actually makes sense in that world.
I mean, I've always liked it, but we can get into our takes and whether or not we think it makes sense like a little bit later. So let's just sort of lay out, I guess, the basics of what they're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, so real quick though, we have proof of personhood. That's like the very first thing. It's accomplished by this orb that scans your iris and that creates for you a world ID, right? So that's kind of the basic component of world coin, the world, what is it? The world app, like a lot of the protocol itself, right? You basically have to have a world ID to be interacting with it, to use the applications, things like that, and to receive payments and all that kind of stuff. Like that's basically their version of private key generation.
Yeah, it's effectively like a public-private key pair.
Yeah.
So when you scan your eyeball, it adds the so it takes your iris data, right? And it uses it to create like a public key, which is effectively like a hash of that. It's pretty funny. They talk about using a zero knowledge proof here to prove that your private key hashes to your public key. And it's like, bro, that's like a signature. Like, what? It proves that you own a private key that maps to a public key. Like, what? But anyway, it's a zero knowledge proof. But the proofs will come in actually for real in a second. So the first thing that happens is that there's like an active set, right? Of like at least like ostensibly humans that are alive. That you know have these like it's like a list of public keys that are generated by private keys that were generated by the orb scanning people's eyeballs. So eyeball goes to private key, goes to public key, and then on chain there's a list of active public keys. And they're unique active public keys, right? So the idea is if you scan your eyeball twice, you'll get the same private key that maps the same public key. And presumably there's a way for you if you like if your eyeball data is compromised somehow to like increment the active you know nonce by one. And so you can go into your local Worldcoin station, present your government ID or whatever, and be like, look, I am me. My account was compromised. I need you to like disable the old account and make a new one. And the idea is, well, you're the same human, you have the iris, so it's not like you could be like committing fraud here. So we can just increment the nonce by one and you're good.
So, quick question here. Like, in this future, right, in this AI future, why could an agent not just simulate the look of a new iris? You know, just like change things slightly. Like, I don't think it's that hard to, like, if you can create all this crazy stuff with AIs, right? Like, why could you not just create a new iris?
So this is pretty interesting. There's like some technical documents on the orb itself. I don't know if you saw these. It goes pretty in depth into like the technology that they're using to scan the eyeballs. And you know, I think like we're still on V4 or whatever of the orb now. But the tech is meant to be like tamper-proof. So you have your device. And it is like it's leased out or given to like a local business. So they're like the people that are actually running like the eyeball scanning, right? And if you try to like create like an iris that's not alive or something, it should be able to like detect that tampering with the device.
Interesting. That's
Probably using AI.
yeah, so exactly, right? Like they're using like deep machine learning models to like verify this stuff. Like at what point I don't know, creative capabilities of some of the similar models or different models become more advanced.
The idea is that you have a human gating it.
Oh, I see. Seems also like a an issue. But anyway,
Yeah.
let's just move on. So
There's some issues. Yeah. I mean, the bigger question is, you have your private key that's generated from your iris. What's to stop you from feeding that into your AI?
interesting. Like, what would you do with that? Like, with your AI that you feed the iris data to?
So let's give an example here. So Twitter had their rate limiting thing recently, because there were too many like bots trying to come in and scrape the tweets
Yeah.
because their API was expensive and people didn't want to pay for it, so they just started scraping it. And the concern is the data that Twitter users are creating was not created with the plan for it to be like utilized by AI, for AI training. Right,
Yeah.
like people didn't consent to that. So the idea is you want to try to limit content like issuance, like content reading, to just humans. So, for example, imagine when I log on to Twitter, every time it requests data for a tweet, it's that request is signed with some signature related to my iris.
I see. Okay, yeah, also seems like an issue.
Like it's effectively like how when you sign a message to log in to like OpenSea or Blur or whatever, it says sign this message to prove that like you actually own this wallet.
Yeah.
It's the same idea. It's like sign this message to prove that you have an iris or two irises, which kind of fucks with, I mean, what if someone doesn't have irises, but whatever.
True.
So it's kind of interesting because what they're trying to do here with this whole situation is you have your set of active addresses and you can generate a zero knowledge proof that you own a unique one of those addresses without revealing which one. So that's sort of where the zero knowledge comes in. So zero knowledge is super interesting. It's like we talk about it a lot at Polygon, right? The idea is that you can generate a proof of one thing without revealing anything beyond it. So, for example, you could take the same list of addresses concept and be like, there's a DAO, it has 100 members. You want to vote, but you don't want to reveal which member you are. You can generate a proof that you have one of the wallets that's in the DAO without revealing which one. And you can also prove that you haven't voted yet. So, you prove that you're one of the wallets that hasn't voted yet, out of the DAO, without revealing anything else. And so it's a privacy preserving technology. So you can use zero knowledge proofs to prove, hey, I'm a unique human. I'm in the active set. I don't want to tell you who I am. And so, the simplest application is something like a CAPTCHA, right? Where you're, trying to buy your Taylor Swift tickets, except that all the bots are getting in first and they can solve the CAPTCHAs now because image recognition was solved last AI cycle. And so now you have to like now it's easier, right? You like forget trying to read the like squiggly letters and numbers, and forget trying to click which of the images in the thing has a bicycle or a traffic light. You can just sign something to do a test that like you're a unique human.
Okay.
So that's like one application of it.
But I still don't get the part, like, yeah, if you once you create this ID, right? Like, why can't you just hand over all of the functionality to an AI agent afterwards? Like, I'm not really getting it. I'm not really
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. Well, it's the same thing that you always say about on-chain ID, right? It's a reputation-based system. So, like, let's say like you see a video, right? And you can't tell if it's real or if it was generated by AI. You look at the journalist that posted it, and you look at the you check to make sure that like their irises sign this message. And that's like your attestation of like this is probably created by a legit journalist. A similar project won the like ETHCC like hack ETH Global Hackathon. So it was like a zero knowledge based like microphone. So the idea was the microphone itself contains hardware that signs off on an audio file. So you record your we record our podcast, right? We take the video file and we each submit a signature over those bytes. And it's like, okay, that signature will only hold if these bytes have not been tampered with. And then the video editing software also had like, a signature on it. So yeah, that's kind of the general idea is like in an era of ChatGPT or like, unfiltered similar models like Llama, right? You could easily write a news story in the style of the New York Times that is just about something like totally ludicrous, right? Or something that just didn't happen. And it's important to be able to make sure that like someone from the New York Times actually signed that article. So that's sort of the purpose. Does that make sense?
That doesn't make sense. Obviously there are flaws or just gaps, but yeah, I mean it makes sense.
Yeah. The biggest flaw of WorldCoin is the fact that like a signature from a private key that was generated from an eyeball does not mean that like all, that's all it means, right? All it means is that this is a signature that was generated from data that was taken from an eyeball.
I think you can't abstract or you can't like add too much on top of that and maintain the same level of functionality that they're trying to kind of attain with that, right? So it's like one eyeball means one person. Like that's basically the level of kind of I don't know if abstraction is the right word, but like that's basically all you can take from it, right? It's like
Yeah, that's the like thing that you can do with no additional trust assumptions is that like each person will be able to generate just one of these things.
So it's like I don't think it necessarily solves any kind of like social media bot issues, but it solves the idea of like you can never have more social media accounts than humans, and that account will be inherently tied to that human forever. So if they start botting or if they start doing some unsavory stuff, then you have that kind of callback. With I mean not necessarily like you know who that person is specifically because of this zero knowledge component, but it's at least mapped one to one.
Yeah.
And I think that's sense why they put UBI as the very first use case, because that like if you want to distribute 10 bucks to every person without caring who that person is and making sure that people don't scam the system, that's one way to do it. And obviously we're going to talk about how people are already scamming the system by basically scanning other people's irises and taking their UBI. They're basically eyeball farming already. So yeah.
Yeah, eyeball farming. I mean, it's so dystopian, right? Okay, so here's the thing about the ZK proofs, right? Like they're used in some contexts but not others. So they're used when you don't want to reveal who you are, but you can also just like sign a message that reveals who you are, right? And that's where the social media thing comes in handy, where it's like your platform might require you to reveal who you are. So if I'm running Twitter servers and I'm like, no, like way too many bots, like I can make it so that each request requires like identification of which public key that person holds. So that if I see that like it's getting spammed from a certain public key, I can just like shut down access for that public key. Or if I don't like that person, I can deplatform. So So we've gone through kind of this proof of personhood thing. And just like really quickly, I wanted to touch on a couple of the sort of core components of World ID or the core mission here. So World ID is the system that, just to recap, like maps, eyeball to private key to public key, and puts the public key into the like active set, right? And there's two things that they're going for here, right? So here's the design space. They're trying to make it difficult to fraudulently use someone else's private key, right? And they're also trying to make it so that it's always possible to recover it if it gets lost. And I do think that's interesting, right? Because this is something that like we don't have with current like seed phrases, right? Like if you lose your seed phrase, you're that's it, right?
What does that recovery mechanism look like? Is it basically what you described with the kind of humans involved where you go and you
You go back to the orb, yeah.
Interesting. And is this like a permissionless thing where you can just go to any orb and be like, hey, I fucked up. This is me. Scan my iris again, verify.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea, right? It's that, like, at any time, the orb will generate the same data from your eyeball that it generated last time.
That's pretty cool. That has a lot of value, I think.
I mean, it's interesting for use cases like money, right? So you walk into the store, you don't need your wallet, you can just kind of scan your eyeball,
Well, money for sure, but like even like everybody's trying to do this real world assets on chain, right? And it's like the issue is, oh shit, I lost my private key. Does that mean I lose my house? Like I don't want that to be the world we live in, but it's like, oh, I lost my private key. I just go scan my iris again, verifies that it's me. I have the private key to my house or, whatever. I think that is like definitely an unlock there. I don't know if people are working towards that or building towards that, but I can definitely see that being a use case.
Yeah, I mean, for most securities, the SEC requires you to like have like a rollback mechanism or something where basically you can just like override shit. And like in crypto, this would look like an invalid state transition where it's like, oops, that house isn't in that person's wallet anymore. Now it's in this one. It's like, wait, that's totally an invalid state transition. Like, what are you talking about?
You just
But
need a custodian to basically manage all of that.
yeah, or you can have, well, you can have a function in the contract that like just burns and mints like as it sees fit. And so you have, yeah, like a custodian, like an admin key, basically. So for, things like tokenized like money market funds or whatever, like that's always an option if you lose your private key. But the reality of it is today, you don't even get to hold these things in self-custodied wallets. Like none of the tokenized stuff actually is real. That's fine. Except for
Agree.
Ondo.
Yeah, you love on the there's some stuff. There's some stuff. Like, did you see there's FTX claims now on chain?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like bankruptcy claims. There's a company called 4K doing like watches and like high-end luxury goods. So that is on chain, but in the end, like you have to claim it, you basically have to go back to them, right? It's like a centralized point. Which is, yeah, which is all of them work.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting because back in 2017, we were talking about these same ideas and they were just like a dream. And now it's like, now we're, fucking like poking at, oh man, it's like, you gotta still go to the like centralized bottleneck. But still, like, it's amazing that we got here.
Things happen way slower, I think, in this industry than people recognize to do the actual important, like big things. And things happen way faster in terms of just market evolutions. I think that's a very, very interesting takeaway.
Super
But
true.
yeah.
Anyway, so other than payments, there's like a few other use cases, right? So we have this UBI thing. We also have, bot prevention, so like it can be used like a captcha, but just with like way better UX. It can also be used for, and I really like this, governance. So they talk a little bit about having like a truly global democratic system, That's so cool, right? Like that's big scale, right?
Yeah, that was the very first, like, I think, like, first principles, like, thinking idea I ever had in this whole space in like 2016 or whatever. And I first heard about this stuff, I was like, holy shit, blockchain for voting. Perfect idea. And then, like, obviously, everybody, like, a lot of people have tried and failed, but I think the architecture is way more sound with something like this.
So what I like about it is that in current voting systems, we rely on like national identity systems like passports or driver's licenses or whatever as a way of like keeping track of unique humans. And so as a result, like every election is inherently restricted to a certain country or municipality's borders. This is global, right? Like it's pretty cool. It's borderless democracy.
So
It's like a
what is
really neat concept.
so how like what is like one example of something like that requires or can be enabled by global voting, like borderless voting? Because I think like that's such a leap. I don't think we can get countries to coordinate on basically anything. Unless there's deep economic incentives. So it's like something like this, like it's cool and ambitious, but I don't really see it.
I mean, you can imagine toy projects, right? So like governments themselves won't like Dubai's not going to stop pumping oil because the vast majority of humans on Earth say this is bad for greenhouse gases and they vote against it, right? So anything that's like got any power that's controlled by government will still be sort of like enabled through that government's voting mechanisms. But individuals can still do whatever they want. Right. So, for example, say I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, you can have art projects, right? You could have like an experiment where I have like, maybe I control the lights on the Empire State Building, and I want to make it so that every human gets a vote as to what color it's going to light up tonight. Anyway, everyone in the world can participate in that. It's really interesting, right? For now, like all I can think of are just like little toy examples. You can imagine, did you ever see Twitch Plays Pokemon?
No.
So they take like old school Pokemon and everybody that's like live streaming on Twitch, like they press like the different buttons together, and every like 5 seconds they vote on which button gets pressed, and then whichever one gets the majority, like that's the button that gets pressed in the game. And then they do it again and again. And eventually Twitch won Pokemon. They finished the game, which is like super crazy. Imagine doing that at a global human scale level, right? I mean, global human consciousness, right? Imagine like we ask it to type out words, right? And everybody every 5 seconds gets to vote on what letter it is. And I guess this is English, but that's the global language, right? So every 5 seconds you vote on which letter to type, and you spell out the global consciousness hive mind thought process.
Interesting. That is pretty cool. Yeah, I can totally see that as like a like deep future state, like like a big like expedition into space or into traveling to another planet or whatever, like how to coordinate certain things. I certainly don't think it'll ever happen because there's just way too many entrenched powers that will hate this. But it's a cool concept. Okay. So that's kind of the architecture of the whole proof of personhood thing. Like, let's see, what else do we need to hit on before we move on?
Just like on technical architecture, I guess it's the whole thing is built on an Optimism OP stack L2, which is pretty interesting. So just as like a side note here, OP stack L2s are very popular these days. It's kind of interesting because as you and I both know, fraud proofs are not live yet. So you're taking like an enormous leap of faith whenever you bridge assets to like an Optimism, an OP stack L2, because there just like is no mechanism to prevent fraud. Like if OP, if Optimism's like servers or whoever's running its servers got like wrecked, like all of the money that got bridged to that chain could in theory just be stolen with like no real backup, right? And so one of the reasons they're popular is because they're very simple to implement, right? And it's so it's like proof of authority, right? But it settles to Ethereum. And so they're super easy, for example, to audit, right? Because they don't really differ at all from Ethereum, because it's just like a single party Geth client, plus or minus like a little bit of like deposit withdrawal contracts that map to L1. But even those don't have, they don't have a prover, right? So it's like it's really easy to audit these things. And so I thought that that was really interesting. It also sort of feels like it aligns with like the optimism ethos, right? Of like global culture, hippie, dippy, like whatever, you know what I mean?
Definitely. I'm not surprised at all that both Coinbase and Worldcoin are using Optimism.
Kraken will use like the deepest ZK one.
Kraken will use Zcash, and that's why
Yeah.
it'll never pick up. Okay, and then the final, so the World app, is that kind of this actual like protocol, like framework that's on Optimism, like their version of their blockchain? Like that's called the World app.
No, the World app is the front end, so it's actually like an iOS and Android app. I think you can do it on mobile web too, and they envision it as just like the first front end, right? But they actually have like SDKs and stuff for developers to integrate with it themselves.
Okay, interesting. So now what? Okay, so that's basically the whole architecture of the project, right? Like there's not much else that we need to hit. Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
to recap, you scan your fucking eyeball with an orb to prove that you're not a machine.
and then you can get paid 20 shekels.
Let's get into the tokens.
Let's get into the token. So what is WorldCoin exactly? Like, why does this exist? The key question of the podcast.
I mean, it's sort of like the this is your doctrine, right? Anything that can have a token will have a token.
Yes, it's true. Okay, so the World Coin, like the token itself, like are they so first of all, it's on ETH, it's an Ethereum-based token, like an ERC20.
Is it? I thought it was like a gas token on their chain.
Oh, is it? But like, so if you wanted to trade it, like you could still trade it on Ethereum though, right?
Sorry, yeah, it is on Ethereum's. You can trade on Ethereum. I imagine you can trade it on their chain as well. I know that there's like one or two DeFi projects going live now because of course there are, you know, every time there's a new chain, there's a quick, you know, land grab, right?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so the World Coin token itself is not really used for anything. Is it, have they said, is it going to be used for like UBI initiatives or anything like that, for community distributions or anything like that?
I mean, this is the initial like attempt at the UBI part of all of this, right? Is like, you know, it's basically like everybody gets a little bit of WLD token just for being human, is what they say.
Okay, interesting. So yeah, talking about the tokenomics now. This has caused a lot of uproar recently. They basically took the Solana ecosystem playbook and are implementing those tokenomics. It basically looks like what was it, Serum or MAPS, the basically like 1% token supply given to public sale, and then everything else is held by insiders and investors and held for the ecosystem and things like that. So I think this thing launched at like $2.50 or something like that. which would put the fully diluted valuation at close to, or initially it was like 20 billion, 25 billion, and then it pumped up to like $3.30, putting the FTV at like 30 billion. Let's check where it is now.
Is it 230 something, 236?
Okay.
Which puts the sorry, I'm on CoinGecko. The market cap, so the liquid market cap is 261 million.
Okay.
The fully diluted is about 23 billion.
Nice. So basically 1% of the supply is in circulation right now. The rest of it is just held.
What,
Well,
real
if
quick, why is this, why did people dislike this about the Solana token ecosystem? Like, what did this do for them?
So what would happen is people would just see that So this is like the model that became popularized in the last bull market, really, and is a way to just pump up token prices, right? You have a very small amount of supply that's actually on the open market. Let's say, like, I don't know, a couple million dollars worth. In this case, it's much bigger because the project is massive, but there would be like a couple million dollars worth of supply out on the open market, and you basically have a hype man shilling the project everywhere, saying this is the future of France, like SBF, and everybody would get excited. They would say, I need to get in on this project, see it going up, and then buy it, and not really know that most of the supply, 99% of the supply, is held by insiders and, yeah, like the team, investors, and held back for the ecosystem, which is again just the team. And what this would let them do is just dump on all the retail volume that was coming in. So if you look at this price chart of basically every Solana DeFi project, every Solana, everything backed by Alameda, really, they all look the exact same. There's a massive, massive run up and then just down forever. And I would expect this chart to look like that, but I think it might take a couple years before that happens. I would say maybe like, I don't know, we're already getting the price, but like I would say, like, probably flat to up in the next year, 2 years, and then down forever after that. Yeah, what is your take?
Well, so the other really important thing about that structure is that it allows you to borrow against your token,
Oh, yeah.
right? Like usually, I mean, last cycle, people would totally lend to you against like something like locked WorldCoin, and you can borrow a higher amount if the market cap is X versus Y. And so part of it is the lack of liquidity and the hype leading to like FOMO buying, leading to like a higher token price. And then, selling spot on selling your dumping your bags on retail like forever. Part of it is also, a lot of people have just taken loans against this. And the nice thing about that is like it doesn't create that market impact.
I think, well, until the loans get liquidated, right?
Yeah, but by that point, we're all dead. The AIs take over. So yeah, and it's not a taxable event until the loan gets liquidated, which is also kind of nice, because it allows you to do things like, I don't know, lever up and buy GBTC. That was what happened last cycle, right? So yeah, okay, anything else on the token?
Not really. Are you bullish or bearish?
I think I'm yeah, I think it'll be medium up. Yeah, I'm medium bullish. Because there's no reason to dump now, right? Like nobody's that dumb, I hope. Like why would you not wait and dump on people in the next bull market?
Yeah, exactly. I do think this will be one of the biggest performers in the bull market. The narrative is just like, it's the Sam coin, it's like, come on. Like, it's a very easy narrative. Like, don't mid-curve this. I would not recommending anybody buy it, but I could see some pretty outsized returns coming.
I mean, the thing is, like, when, for example, like when all these countries started to accept Bitcoin as currency during during last bull market, like those were bullish headlines, right? There are gonna be smaller countries that adopt WorldCoin, right,
100%.
as like part of their identity standard, and that should be bullish, right?
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Let me go on a 90-second rant for all the folks who are in, that weren't in crypto the last like two or three cycles or whatever. I can see you're already hitting the jet lag crash. So I'll take over for 90 seconds here. So here's the thing about crypto. The world, not only the crypto industry, but the whole world has collective amnesia when it comes to crypto. And the reason is like crypto is literally everything, right? Like initially it was Bitcoin and shit coins and like meme coins and all this stuff. And then it's ETH and L1s and DeFi and all this stuff. And now it's again, we're in the bear market, but it's like all these
Real
meme
world
coins.
assets and decentralized ID.
Exactly. So the narratives just change every cycle. And people look at this and they're like, wow, this is the future. People have really hit on something. Like now crypto makes sense. And you get a different audience every single time. And you like kind of mature as an industry and you bring in new folks. And the new folks that come in, they're like, wow, this whole thing was a scam before. But now that I'm in, this is the real bull market. And now we've attained enlightenment. We're going to the super cycle. No more dips, up only forever. Like the people preaching that last time were guys like Saylor and Suzu and all this stuff. It's like, okay, cool guys. Like SBF, like first cycle, right? All these guys, first cycle. I don't know about Suzu, but definitely the other two guys, first cycle. Before then, I don't know who was shilling that back then in 2017. Honestly, that was my first cycle. So, but it happens every single time. And I can guarantee you this bull market will come again. It will be crazier than the last one. It's gonna look completely different, and it's gonna be centered around stuff like this. Definitely real world assets. I could see so many real world asset like chains and projects just going absolutely ballistic. Like these are all guaranteed to happen. So, yeah, that's my whole rant is like all this shit's gonna come back. It's gonna come back way harder, and you just have to be close to the ground and see what the narratives are, how they're forming. And who the people are that are going to drive them, right? And it's like Sam Altman is like maybe the leader of the whole tech movement right now. He's just that guy right now. And so like I would not fade. It's like Elon tweeting the Doge ticker, right? Or putting Doge in his profile or whatever. It's like that same thing. Like that narrative is going to come back so strong in a year or 2 years, and you just have to be ready for that.
Yeah, I think it's a good take, and that's why I'm pretty bullish actually on WorldCoin.
I'm convincing myself to be bullish, damn.
I don't want to buy any right now because I think in the meantime it'll be like wildly volatile, and I just don't feel like holding WorldCoin. Just sounds very tiring. Like holding ETH, it's nurturing to the soul. Holding WorldCoin's like, oh, what am I doing here? You have to think about it, right? And I would personally rather not think about WorldCoin for a little while.
Exactly. There's so many cool things.
Okay, can I rant for a second?
Yes, please.
The whole notion of civil prevention solving MEV is like solving MEV, right? It's just like people are trying to solve a problem that is like there's no fucking workaround, right? It's like mechanically part of the system. It's like trying to solve carbon dioxide, right? Like when not, I'm not talking about like in like greenhouse gases. I'm literally talking about like you're breathing in a room and you're like, I'm gonna solve carbon dioxide. Like it's like trying to solve gravity, right? It's like it's there. It's just fucking part of the system, okay? Get over it. Like we will never, ever, ever be able to truly distinguish between humans and AIs on a digital like space, right? In the digital world, Your zeros and ones are just as valid as my zeros and ones, which are just as valid as a computer's zeros and ones. Like, there's nothing you can do, right? So when you look at something like DAO voting, right? I think that a lot of people, shout out Matthew Diemer, head of like the Decrypt.co like daily podcast, to being like literally the dumbest human in the entire space. He says like every day, like, yeah, look, this guy hits every fucking point, right? He's like, I think it should be, he's like, I think we should arrest Do Kwon, not for like any fraud allegations, but for like building a system that people bought into the collapse, right? Like he's like, he completely missed the point on that. He's like, this man is a criminal. And you're like, Matthew Diemer at Decrypt.co. What did he do illegally? And he's like, well, I don't know. It's like, it's not fraud. It's like total bullshit. So he hits all these stupid talking points. He's just super misguided. Like one of which is this, we should have fairer voting systems, right? So he also said, he was like, we're gonna let him do Luna 2.0. Like, how is this allowed? And it's like, bro, anyone can just fucking write code, man. Like, relax. He's like, shouldn't the community be able to vote on this? Shouldn't there be like a fairer way to vote than like one token, one vote? And it's like, well, no, because the number of tokens that you hold in Luna 1.0 is very much a reflection of how invested you will be in Luna 2.0. Like that is a very fair like way to do it. Anyway, these same people that are just sort of like thoughtlessly applying like platitudes to the crypto space always talk about they always talk about one human, one vote, one person, one vote, rather than like DAO voting weighted by token holdings. Optimism does this. They talk a lot about this, about like how can we implement like one person, one vote, like voting within our like protocol. It's just like, okay, here's the thing, right? It's mechanically not possible, but if you're gonna push for that, WorldCoin is genuinely your best shot. Right? Like it is pretty good. They've thought through the best possible attempt at doing this. And so I think like anybody who's ever tweeted about proof of humanity, proof of like, not being an AI, anybody who's ever fear posted about AIs being able to like impersonate humans, anyone who's ever advocated for one person, one vote rather than one token, one vote. Anybody who's ever complained about the fact that like whales are able to like dominate governance, go scan your eyeballs, okay? You should be first in line for the orb. I think it should be like required if you're gonna keep like LARPing about proof of humanity, like to go scan your freaking eyeballs, because I guarantee you nobody has the guts to do it.
I like it. I like the take a lot, and I agree. Matt, you got anything else?
I'm not going to scan my eyeballs, man.
There was one at the event I went to last week, and there were two of them, and I literally like just entered the door of the room and I saw them in the corner, and I literally walked all the way around to go through the other entrance of the room, and I stayed in that corner of the room the whole time. It's like, get me away from that thing. So yeah, bullish WorldCoin, but never scanning.
Yeah, exactly. I'll hopefully I can afford to forego the UBI.
Yeah.
That
Yes. It all comes down to the meme coins I have over invested in.
yeah.
Good place to end it. We'll be back in a few days to talk about hamsters and Mog and other fun things happening in crypto outside of iris scanning. But until then, everybody, have a good week and stay decent.
None of this was financial advice, legal advice, investment advice, or any other kind of advice. If you're looking for advice, you are definitely in the wrong place. Until next time, stay decent.